Isaiah 26 says this: "You will keep in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." I'm going to tell you, I hope you realize how fragile our world is. I mean, it's amazing to me, the most powerful governments in the world are not that powerful. And you and I need to understand, we know him who controls it all. And he is the one. And when you steadfastly seek him, he'll bring you peace. When you rest in him, I don't know about you, but my thoughts go here and go there and go there, and I have to arrest them and think about God and how good he's been to me. Paul put it this way in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." There's a lot of people anxious about toilet paper today. And hand sanitizer. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God. Aren't you thankful for his peace? Which transcends all understanding. How many of you know you don't need to panic? That transcends all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the progression. Number one, rejoice, be gentle, don't be anxious, and pray. And then the peace comes. Then the peace comes. Why don't you stand with me, would you? I want you to cut everything else right now. I want you to sing this little song. Ben's going to lead us in. I just want you to remember. I want you to remember. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this.
God, you're so good. So good, God, you're so good, you're so good to me, God, you're so good.
Yes, you are, Lord.
God, you're so good.
I want you to just remember the time that God saved you. I want you to remember the time that he filled you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to remember the time his provision showed up on your doorstep.
God, you're so so good, God, you're so good, you're so good to me, God, you're so good, God, you're so so good, you're so good to me, so good to me.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Would you do that? Amen. 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 You may be seated. I hope you felt that just enter the room. The peace of God just enter the room. And it's a beautiful thing when you captivate your heart, your life on the things God has done for you. There's something supernatural that takes place. Amen. So we are in the business of a weird little situation right now, but there's no reason for you to fear, because he is in control. And we walk wise. Did you hear me? We walk wise. We pay attention. We don't tempt God. We walk wise. And we also create opportunities. So a few weeks ago, we're beginning of the year, we started planning so that we can do live broadcast online, because many of you have asked that online. So we're hoping to buy that equipment this next week, and we've kind of put a rush on it because of all the things that have happened, you know. The timing is kind of nice. And the cost of that's about $6,000. Did you hear what I said? So, you know, that takes a little forethought and planning, and thank God we can do that. If any of you'd like to help, we'd receive that too. But ministry costs money. Amen? So we're going to do that so we can broadcast and do some other things. So, just to be prepared. Be wise. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus said this. It's the parable that's only mentioned in Mark. And it's about scattering seed. And it says this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So he's talking about the kingdom. This is what the kingdom is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Oh, a couple of weeks ago, we heard about the sowing of seed, right? So it's kind of the same little theme going on here, that the seed is being scattered. How many of you know the gospel is a powerful seed? It's a powerful seed. The man scatters the seed on the ground night and day. And whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know it. Know how? Excuse me. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. And we know there's a harvest coming. Amen. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our heart with your word and help us to see and understand and behold it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This parable is only found in Mark, and it's talking about the growth of a seed. And it's a kingdom marked by growth, that when the gospel happens, growth takes place. And it doesn't happen by the will of man. Think about it. He just scatters the seed and all the thing. The next thing you know, at the end of the product, there's a grain ready for harvest. How many of you know how a seed flourishes? You put it in the ground, all of a sudden it comes up. The scientific, all that kind of stuff, and plant the seed and watch what happens. Something happens. The same is true with the gospel. The same is true with faith. We don't see all the intricacies of it. We don't understand all the complexities of it. We don't understand the spiritual dynamics of certain things, but it doesn't mean you stop doing what you know to do. You keep praying. You keep reading the word. Why? Because there is things being sown in our hearts, mysteries that are soon to be unveiled. You don't fully comprehend them, but the kingdom is about growing, and spiritual growth. You know, it's one thing to grow physically, And most of our kids do that pretty well on their own if you just keep shoveling food at them. They grow pretty good. But you know what? To grow intellectually, it takes a little effort. To grow spiritually, it takes a little discipline. There are certain things that happen naturally in our lives where we're going to grow whether we try or not. But there are other things that you and I need to pay attention to if we're going to grow intellectually, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to grow emotionally. We have to pay attention to that. We have to discipline ourselves, pursue the growth. You know what? Hungry for growth. Why? Because Jesus said this, those who hunger after righteousness shall be filled. Notice that the hunger happens first. There ought to be a desire in your heart that you not always be a baby Christian. Because we all start as a baby. I think I was 10 pounds when I was born. My mama was 4'11". And all of the ladies said, ouch. You know what I mean? But I was growing and she couldn't stop. The growth took off. And it's kind of still happening. But listen to me. To grow spiritually, Larry had to change his heart. Larry had to experience a new birth in God. And there's something happened when I had a new birth. You know, the truth of the matter is, I could have let that lay dormant and become nominal in my walk with God. Listen to me. God does not want you to be a baby Christian. You know, the Bible talks about that. You desire milk in the beginning, but you ought to progress beyond milk and eat the meat. And that requires not just good teachers around you, that requires a desire to know more about God. Amen? Yeah. So if you're hungry for growth, you probably need a little desire. That desire happens, discipline. You got to have discipline to grow spiritually. It happens through humility. Because you have to recognize, I need something from God. And the only way you recognize you need something from God is to humble yourself and acknowledge the fact that you need something from God. And that takes a little humility. And it takes a little humility to stay hungry for God. I think sometimes the worst Christians are the Christians who figured it all out. I don't ever want to figure it all out. I always want to have a sense of, I don't know. Because that'll keep you hungry for God. It'll help keep you hungry for the things of Him. Here's the other thing that's going to require spiritual growth in your life. Faithfulness. You're not going to grow spiritually without those two things happening in your life. Three things, really. Desire, which is hunger. Which one? Discipline and humility and faithfulness. Four things. You gotta have those in your life. You're gonna do it. So this parable is a man just sows. The gospel is powerful. He sows and he waits. How many know Jesus is waiting? He's waiting for something supernatural. It's gonna happen. What? A harvest is coming. He knows that. And I'm glad the power of the seed happens. Hallelujah. You sow, the thing happens. It sprouts, plants grow, and harvest comes. Here's the problem. There's a wait time between the planting, the sowing of the seed, and the harvest. And in spiritual dimensions, it's been 2,000 years. That's a long time, right? How many know what's going to happen? You know, the book of Revelation talks about plagues. The book of Revelation talks about things that we think, how is that going to happen? Oh, we're beginning to see right now. Just turn on the news. You can see how all that happens. Why? Because we don't have the power that God has. We may think we're in control. We may think we have peace, but you need to understand, peace belongs to Him. And when you know Him, you have that. Now, I don't know about you, but I get, because sometimes the seed has been planted, I've been growing, and all of a sudden I have to wait. Don't you just love the wait? No. We don't like that. Now, I don't know about you, but there were times in my life when I looked at the inactivity of God, where He wasn't doing anything. I didn't like that. Some of you are there. I'm going to draw your attention to Psalm 77. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and would not be comforted. Here I am crying out to God and nothing's happening inside of me. Nothing's going on. And then he says this, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. Do you hear the distress of the psalmist who's writing this letter? He's very distressed. And then verse 5, I thought about the former days, the years long ago, and I remembered my songs in the night. So this is what's going on. This is what God is, what happened in his heart. In the midst of the inactivity, in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of not hearing anything from heaven, I remembered. There's something powerful about remembering what God has done for you yesterday. And you don't spend enough time thinking about what he's done for you yesterday. What Jesus tell him at the communion table? Remember me. Remember me. There's something powerful about remembering the goodness of God. Amen. Don't you dare forget the day he showed up with a miracle on your doorstep. Don't ever forget the day a missionary laid hands on your wife, prayed that she would have a baby, and Benjamin came forth. Did you hear me? God knows how to answer your prayers. Don't forget the prayers he's answered. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I thought about my former days, the years long ago, and I remembered my songs in the night, and my heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? You ever felt like that? Abandoned by God, abandoned. And verse 8, has his unfailing love vanished forever? What's your answer to that? No, but in the moment, I'm empty. Do you hear what the psalmist is saying? In the moment, I'm empty. Can I tell you something, brother, sister in the Lord? Don't bash other Christians when they're in that position. Pray. Love on them. Be hands extended from the grace of God. Because this too shall pass. Because the God who visited yesterday can show up again. Amen? His unfailing love has vanished forever. Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful to me? Has he been, his anger withheld his compassion? And then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. There it is again. Listen, when you feel absolutely empty, remember, Remember what he's done. Remember what he said. Remember the moment when he carried you on his hands and you felt his presence and the power of God overwhelmed you. Remember the victories of yesterday, because there's more coming. I will remember your miracles of long ago. Verse 12, I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display the power among your peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God, and the waters saw and withdrew. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lifted up the world, and the earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. You hear what he's talking about? He's talking about the passage of the Red Sea. You remember when God parted waters for you. When he came through in the midst of your dark, in the midst of you not understanding what was going on. I don't know about you, but it's a good time for God right now. There's a lot of times, I mean, especially right, I don't understand what's going on right now, but I need him. And I remember when he's come back, he's touched, he's blessed, he's parted waters of yesterday. Do it again. Your path led them through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Did you hear that? Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know what I love about the Bible? It doesn't leave anything out. It's not all fluff and stuff. There's valleys. When David messes up with Bathsheba, when Absalom messes his daddy up, when King Solomon takes on as many wives and God, I'm going to tell you the Bible is full of mess. But there's a God who knows how to intervene in our mess. And he sent his son to touch us, to bless us, to plant a seed of hope. Because this parable is about the final harvest. That God is coming back again. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says this, when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. So all the governments in the world can't manage this world. But there is a God who is coming. Do you hear me? Put your hope, your faith in him. That final harvest, Joel talks about it in Joel 3, verse 13. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Did you hear that? In the valley. If I didn't know the Lord right now, I would come to him. I mean, this coronavirus and all the stuff going on makes you know something. He's coming. There's an end, and you need to be ready for that end. If I didn't know the Lord, I would want to know Jesus. Amen. Listen to what else he goes on to say. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened. The stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge. For who? For his people. Glory to God for me. God said I could take refuge in him. Think about that for a moment. He's the one who spoke it all into existence. He's the one who came and died on the cross and bore my sin, rose from the grave, and he invites me so that he could be my refuge. Oh, a strong and mighty tower. Something that never, never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. I need the worship team to come back up here, please. The Lord will roar from Zion, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Listen to me. Jesus is coming. Listen to the process. The seed is scattered. The planting happens. The growth takes place. The ripening and then the harvest. The harvest is the climax of God's activity in his Son. And this we know, it's coming. It's coming. The seed was scattered and the passivity of the farmer. He just watches it grow. He watches it get ripe. He watches it come to fruition. And then he has to lay a sickle to it. Listen, God is about to harvest from this world. Aren't you glad you're participating in the gospel? Huh? Because listen, great will be our reward. Amen? He's coming. You see, the proclamation of the gospel is a pledge of the ultimate fulfillment of the purposes of God. There is a harvest coming, and I'm glad I'm participating in the proclamation, the scattering of the seed. Not just here in Tallahassee, but in France, in Sri Lanka, Indonesia,